The podcast you're about to listen to is graphic and explicit. Does it feel like you never get any time to yourself? Are there others in your house? Well, make sure you got your earbuds in. You don't? You got the place all to yourself. Blare it. Play it loud. Are you ready for some stories? Let's go.
But I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Della Torre, and this week on the podcast, we have a story of sex and gender from podcast favorite, The Ceiling Cat Prophet. How's your week been? All the days are blurring together, aren't they? Doesn't it feel like this month has been more than a year? It's kind of weird. You wake up, your back hurts, you feel like you're in bed all the time, you move to the couch, maybe you walk the dog around the neighborhood a couple times, maybe you put the cat in your lap and you watch some Netflix or some Hulu. It's just this constant blur. You get on Zoom, you log into work, you interact with people who are also in their pajamas. It's a strange time. I hope you're staying home. I hope you're staying healthy. I really love the fact that my listeners are the sort of people who know that we have to flatten the curve and that we have to take care of each other. I've had a bunch of you send me face masks so that I can stay healthy because, as I've said in the past, I'm fairly immunocompromised. I actually haven't left the house in over 2 weeks, and the last time I left the house was a walk around the block, so it was not a big healthy walk. But it sure felt good to be out in the sun, to feel the breeze on my face, to be outside the confines of my house. Have we ever spent this much time in our own houses before? I've always worked from home, it feels like, probably at least for the last 8 years I have worked at home. I have never spent this much time in my house. I was an early adopter, and I'm seeing from the people that said, when the first wave started coming into San Francisco, that was pretty close to right about 2 months ago. So I've been in this house for 2 months. You think it'd be cleaner, right? But somehow a lot of my time has been spent on new stuff. Let's talk about the new stuff, okay? We had our first body storytelling live stream this past Saturday night. And I honestly didn't know what to expect. And I don't know if you know this about me, but storytellers don't tend to be that great at technology. You know, we can be Luddites from time to time. Remember how the podcast took a little while to catch on for me? It took me a while to get a handle on it. Well, thank God I have tech-savvy people in my life who made it possible. And I can tell you, we would not be live streaming right now if it were not for the technical people in my life. Thank you, Marty. I was nervous, and not only was I doing my first live stream on Saturday night, I was telling a story for the Risk podcast live stream the same morning. So I figured they are doing a great job at the live stream. It makes sense to be someone who tells a story on the show so that I can have an experience that I can pass on to my own storytellers to make it work as well as possible in this new format. And I will tell you, Saturday was a stressful day. Preparing my own story, I got up at 5 a.m. I didn't have to be on tech till 10 a.m. my time, but I got up at 5 a.m. to keep reworking my story. I was putting all my focus into my story because It's very strange to look into your computer and tell a story versus people, versus hundreds of people in an audience. It's something you have to get used to. And I knew it was going to be my first time, really, and I needed to get used to it as much as possible. So I just kept working on the story to make myself more comfortable. And the first show of the day went really well. The story went well. It was one that I sometimes tell at live shows, but I'd never really done a beginning, middle, end to it. It had always kind of been this anecdote piece. And I was thoroughly wiped out after live stream number one, but I ate a bowl of chili. I sat down and I got ready for the tech and all of the work that I had to do for my own live stream on Saturday evening. The most amazing thing that I found out when I was on live stream number one was when they did a Q&A, people kept asking me, how do we get tickets to your show? And I'm like, well, they're like, no, it's sold out. I'm like, wait, our live stream sold out? Our live stream on Saturday night, it's sold out? I found out from people telling me they were trying to get tickets and tickets were gone. I never thought we'd sell it out. I mean, we kept it to a smaller size, but it was still a lot more people than would fit in a live show. I was just kind of floored. Such a great feeling after you've told your story and you're feeling all vulnerable. That first morning live stream that I did, I get to find out that my show sold out. Going into it and preparing for it, I'm getting tons of emails going, how do we get tickets? How do we get tickets? How do we get tickets? It's a Zoom webinar. I don't know. The size of the room is the size of a room. I can't change it. It is what it is. It feels great to be doing something new and scary and already knowing that your audience supports you. They have your back. Your show's already sold out. That feels so good. It made me a little bit more confident with the technology. And, you know, we had a snafu or two, but I have to say that everybody in the live stream was supportive and were rooting people on. And it's so different than a live show. And yet, it still felt great. We'd still have these waves of applause that you could feel in your body the way you could feel them in a live show. People really liked that instead of way off on top of a stage, that the person was looking right into their camera on their computer, telling the story just to them. They said it felt intimate, and it felt like they were confiding just in them, the listener. And they were also all comfy on their couch with a fire roaring in front of them, their feet up in their pajamas. Maybe if they wanted to get a little bit busy, they could do it and they weren't bothering anybody at a live show. Because we have been known to get parties started. And if the party's on your own couch or your own bed, how much easier did that just get? A few people said, this is the highest quality production of any Zoom event that I've seen since this whole pandemic thing started. To which I went, how's that possible? Because that is not me. That is not my skill set. High quality production in the tech world? Nope. I say all of that goes to Marty. All of that goes to the other storytellers who really worked hard in their tech rehearsal so that we could have people telling stories for the first time from all over the country. Instead of people coming to San Francisco or coming to Seattle or me being on tour to come to them, we had people on the first live stream who were telling stories from Portland and Cincinnati and Chicago and various cities around the Bay Area, all in their own homes, all together. You know, my dream has always been that you could have this thing wherever you are, right? Well, the thing is, now you can. I've already gotten a bunch of story pitches for the next live stream. You could send me one really fast if you wanted to, and you might make it on this one, or you might make it on the next one, because we are going to be doing these every 2 weeks. We have scheduled them around the virtual orgies that we're aware of. So, you know, listening to dirty stories is going to get you in the mood. I heard that the virtual orgies after the show were like nuts. That they were very enthusiastic because there was none of that awkward, oh, what are we doing? We're all in our own homes. It was a little bit more like, we just had community. We just had sex positive community. Now let's get together and get busy and entertain each other on screen. And that's something I've always loved doing. As a sex party producer, I want to help people get laid. And now I could do it through a live stream? How is that even possible? The future is weird, y'all. Ticket links are going to be in the show notes for this episode. We are going to tier things so that we can add some new stuff because, you know, as an event producer, the thing that gets me really excited is to figure out new ways to interact with you guys. So I'm adding weirdness to the ticketing process for a live stream. Marty and I sat down and brainstormed, what can we do that's weird this time? And I think we're going to probably change it up the first few to see what takes with you. You'll have to go to the ticket link to find out what I'm talking about, but yeah. I have to say, for a first experience at a show that was completely online, getting beautiful emails from people who set their alarm clock in South Africa to celebrate their birthday the next day because it was now Sunday in South Africa, to have so much going wrong in their life right then, to set their alarm clock and celebrate the next day, which was their birthday, by watching their very first body, something they'd always dreamed of doing. The emails that I got right after the show just made me so happy. It made me feel close to you. We can keep this going. This pandemic thing ain't gonna stop us, you know? We are going to continue doing live streams so that we can come together on the regular. I can hear your story. You can share your story wherever you are. Holy shit, how exciting is that? How do you feel about ramen? Well, I'm against it. And after 2 months without a show, it was ramen time around here. We got the live stream and that worked out great. But the good thing is, the way that we're keeping the lights on around here is through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/body and you can support us and make sure that the podcast keeps going. I am getting emails from all over telling me the story about how people have discovered a side of themselves they never pondered. They never had the room to ponder because their own stories about sexuality, there was no place to talk about those things. Listening to a story makes you think about your own life and the stories that you have. And we have opened doors for so many people, and they want us to continue to keep those doors open. The way that we do that is through Patreon. And one of the great things about Patreon is it's a way to give the stories you want to people like you. It's a place to share videos from the live show. It's a place to share behind the scenes interviews. We can share ad-free podcast episodes. We have a series on the behind the scenes of the coaching process that I do with the storytellers. And now we have the recordings from the live stream. Every time we do a live stream, a couple of days later, it's going to be available to our patrons on Patreon. If you support us at the $10 and up level, in addition to all that other stuff, you're going to be getting the live stream recordings. And if we go at the 2 times a month rate that we're planning to, that's going to be 2 live streams a month in addition to all the other good stuff that you get. So go to patreon.com/body. Help us keep going. This is a crucial time. It's make or break. And I'm watching so many shows go away right now. And I don't want Body to be one of them. This is my life's work. This is what I'm passionate about. And I want to continue producing these stories and helping people to share their stories with you. Thanks in advance for your support. Oh, it's time for a story. Let's talk about our storyteller for this week. Gulia, also known as the Ceiling Cat Prophet, is an immigrant from the Soviet Union, a polyamorous Buddhist burner, that means Burning Man, and a lover of all things cat. She invites you all to join the Ceiling Cat Prophet group on Facebook. It's the warmest place on the internet. I'll see you in there. This storyteller is the Ceiling Cat Prophet.
Okay. Yep. Hello, I'm Gulia, the ceiling cat prophet. Harder, she says. Faster, deeper. Four of my fingers are inside of her. Reina is my first girlfriend, the first woman I ever fucked. I never fucked a woman before. I grew up in Soviet Union. There, officially, there was no sex. But my mother published banned books, including books about sex. And who knew that that chapter on fingering and fisting would become so helpful to me right now? Reina is laying on a white rug. Her blonde hair I all messed up. I did that. Her blue eyes are closed. My entire feast is inside of her. We're both about to come. And I glance to the mirror on the left. I just want to see what two naked women fucking look like. And I see a man.
Oh, no.
He looks like a Viking. He has amazing muscles of someone who swims. He has short blonde hair and piercing blue eyes. Who is that man? That man is me. The man has no name, but I always felt him. At first, he was a no-name boy when I would climb trees because I was a tomboy. Then at 15, I fell in love with Victoria, and I felt him again. I could not talk to anybody about it in USSR, because if in USSR, if you talk about man living inside of you and falling in love with women, you end up in a mental asylum for a really long time. At 18, I felt him again. I was in Moscow with Mitya, my mother's boyfriend, and my martial art teacher. I had to go to American Embassy to pick up my green card from the foreign officer, Mr. Smith. The problem was a Russian policeman at the gate. He was a sadist. He enjoyed sending people like me to stand in a general line, which would take 3 days. And it was winter. It was minus 25 Celsius. There is no way I could do it. My green card was my way out of this godforsaken country. So I told Mitya, I don't know what to do. He was a very feminine-looking man with longish hair. He just didn't believe that your body limited what you could do or whose ass you can kick in martial arts. He looked at me and he says, well, if, Gulichka, you go like this with tears in your eyes, they will never let you in. You need to be 2 meters tall with broad shoulders and strength. I thought it was insane, but he was my martial arts teacher. So I came to the gate, and suddenly I felt the no-name man. I was 2 meters tall, and my shoulders were wide. And I looked at the policeman, and I said, I have an appointment with Mr. Smith at 9. This is 8:55 a.m. I do not stand in this line. Open the gate. And he saw the man, and he opened the gate. And that's... And that's how I ended up in that little house on Broderick with Reina on the rug coming. And she said that no woman ever fucked her that way. I wasn't sure, actually, it was a woman who fucked her. She told me she loved me, but then she fell in love with a man and moved across the country, and my life moved on. I went to college. I got married. I had 2 kids. I kept thinking of no man, but I felt that he was drowning in estrogen. So I cut my hair really short, and I started wearing androgynous clothes. My husband at that time was not amused. He told me that sleeping with me in bed with my short hair felt like sleeping in bed with a young man. Secretly, I was pleased. But I also felt very rejected. I kept thinking, how will I go on like that? How can one be two people? Men will probably reject me for my masculine part. And then I had this belief that why would a woman would want to be with me? I thought that women wanted to be with women because they didn't want to be with men. I thought of Russian fairy tales with shapeshifter characters. Those fairy tales never ended well. When a shapeshifter came out and showed their true selves, they were killed. So I divorced my husband. I met Chris, and I went to therapy. And my doctor said, well, you don't have to have those fears. Nobody's going to kill you here. And you're not abnormal. Everybody has a masculine and feminine self. But doctor, it's not like that. There is an entirely different person who lives inside of me. And he says, well, he asks the prerequisite question, do you feel that you were born in the wrong body? And I looked at him, and I think for a moment, and I say, yes, I feel that I was born in the wrong body. I was born in the body of the human, and what I want is a body of the shapeshifter. It is not physically possible, right? So I study Buddhism to learn how to be with what is. And Chris falls in love with me. Chris falls in love with Gulia. And I fall in love with him. And I start thinking of my next lifetime. You know, when I'm reborn, I tell everybody at my dinner parties, in my next lifetime, I will be 6 feet 2 inches tall. I'll be blonde. I will be a bisexual art curator in Stockholm. And I will have 8, maybe 9-inch dick. Usually, it just flies over people's head, except Chris. Chris says, oh, yeah, and I will meet you in a bar in Stockholm, and I will know who you are. And I also will be a bisexual man. And I smile, and your dating pool will double. One night, we're watching True Blood, and you know that vampire Eric comes on? He is so tall. He is blonde. His blue eyes are piercing, and that six-pack, and his arms are so powerful. You know, he tenderly holds his lovers or his victims when he takes them. And Chris asks, is this who you're going to be in your next lifetime? And suddenly, no name, the man has a name, Eric. A few years later, at a pool, I meet a woman. I don't actually meet her, I just admire her from afar. She's standing barefoot in the grass, looking at the water, wearing a flowing willowy dress that has red and pink flowers, her favorite colors, as I discover later. My English is fine, but I'm tongue-tied. We become friends. We talk about many things, and one of the things she keeps saying is, you are not your body. I understand it, but I don't get it. I come to her house for a sleepover. We're in bed naked. She gazes at me with those amazing green hazel eyes and says, don't fall for me. And I say, oh, I will not fall for you. And I know at that moment, I will not keep this promise. How can you not fall for Gail, my girlfriend who is sitting there? About her incredibly interesting and challenging life, and I'm at awe that with all of that, she is still compassionate and loving and so connected to the universe. You know how hard it is not to tell somebody I love you and instead you use all those variations of, I'm very fond of you. One evening, Gail comes to our house. Chris, Gail, and I soak in a bath, have dinner, and then we go to bed. And Gulia really loves when Chris fucks her. And he fucks me so hard that night. From behind, the bed is shaking, the painting almost falls, and then my legs on his shoulder, our gaze is locked. I come so many times, but who's counting? No one. And I just collapse. I need to rest. So I spoon with Gail. By that time, we have nicknames for each other. Gail is Little Spoon, and I'm a Big Spoon. And her vagina is so wondrous that I call it Narnia because I get lost there for hours. And as we're laying there, Alleluia comes on the radio, and it's a beautiful song. And I hear Gail saying, I love you. Am I hallucinating like that man in the mirror? No, Gulia, I love you. And she looks in my eyes. I love all of you. And at that moment, that calls out Eric to come out and play. And yes, I'm wearing a strap-on and a purple dildo, but I can feel my dick getting hard. And suddenly this bed is too short for me. And my biceps are so strong. And I pin Gail to the bed. And I keep looking into her eyes. And then I kiss her so hard, almost as if I am an actual vampire. And I suck on her beautiful breasts that I nickname kittens because I love cats. And then my hand traces my favorite curve from her shoulder down her ribs to her hips and between her legs. In her inner thigh, the skin is the short, is the softest. And then I am overcome by lust and desire. I have to be inside. I have to fuck her to smithereens, and I do. I have no conscious thoughts. I just feel a different body. Not Gulia's body, but Eric's body. And then I lay on the bed and I can't move because I shapeshifted and I can't feel my body at all. It takes me a few moments to come back and I start crying softly. And I feel Gail touching my hair and saying, I love you. All of you, you are all welcome here. And I breathe and I turn to Chris and he looks at me in amazement and he says, I saw him coming. I saw, oh my God, the strength, your biceps, your bulging veins, the desire to be inside and fuck. That night, I fall asleep between Chris and Gail. And a few months later in September, I ask Gail, would you take my hand and hand fast in the ceremony? And that is what's going to happen this July in Golden Gate Park. So it will be me, Gulia, Gail, Eric, and Chris will be my best man. They say that love is blind. I do not believe this. To me, to be loved is to be seen.
That was Identity by Mina Caputo. This is the portion of the show where I tell you about upcoming live body storytellings. And there ain't none of them. So we're going to talk about the live stream. How exciting is that? The first one went great. And so we've already set a date for the next one. And tickets are available. Look at your calendar. You got it open? I'll take a second. You're on the right page. Is it a paper planner? Is it a Google Calendar? Okay. We are going to be doing our next live stream on Saturday, May 2nd. It is going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. There's a thing called the time converter. Just go in and plug it in, plug in that time, and find out where it is where you live. Tickets are already on sale. And I hope you can be one of the ones who gets it this time, because the last one sold out and that felt so damn good. Let's do it again if we can. Share that link that's going to be in the show notes with everybody you know. You can have a little watch party, a little hot Saturday night before your virtual orgy or after your virtual orgy. I don't know. It's Saturday. You can fuck all day if you want. I'm for it. So make sure you buy a ticket to our next body storytelling live stream on Saturday, May 2nd. I hate it when it's the end of the episode. It feels like I get you once a week, and I cherish this time, and it's gonna be a whole nother week before I get to be here with you again. Let's say thank you to the people who are making this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer and now live stream producer Marty Garcia. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff. Thank you to video archivist. He's helping us with archiving the live streams and getting them out to you as recordings now. Thank you to Joe Moore. Thank you to you for listening, for telling all your friends about the podcast and the live streams, and for listening and taking the time every week to be part of the body storytelling family. It really does feel like a family. Community is another word for it, but I don't know. The letters that I get just make me feel like someone I've never met, who's always been part of my life, is telling me what's going on with them. If you want to be one of those people, you can send me an email or maybe make a voice memo recording and send it to dixie@bodystorytelling.com. I want to hear your story too. I want to hear how all of this that's going on in the world is affecting your life. And I want to know who I'm rooting for. I already know it's you, but I don't necessarily know your name and your story yet. And I really like stories. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Della Torre. This has been episode 120 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. And here's a peek at what's next.
And then, like, you know, the floor where all the lights are for, like, the disco stuff? That's where all the kink stuff happens. And you got your stocks, your cages, the X thing. And then there's... I don't know.